Good morning, everyone. This meeting of the House Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee is called to order, and the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Long.
Present.
Vice Chair Akam.
Present.
Minority Leads Pazinski.
Here.
Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bow.
Here.
Representative Christensen.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Grunhagen.
Present.
Representative Hollins.
Present.
Representative Hornstein?
Present.
Representative Igo?
Present.
Representative Lee?
Lee, present.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, present.
Representative Lislegard?
Lislegard, present.
Representative Mecklins?
Mecklin, present.
Representative Munson?
Munson, present.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
We have a quorum, members. Members, we have a very full agenda today with three community solar bills up for discussion. We have a large number of amendments filed as well as public testifiers, so we're going to have to keep moving today and adhere strictly to our time limits. And we will begin by House File 653. Representative Akam, would you like to present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I am presenting House File 653 today, which updates our nation-leading community solar garden program.
Representative Akam moves that House File 653 be laid over. Representative Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry about that. And so the Minnesota Community Solar Garden Statute has led to the construction of over 750 megawatts of community solar gardens in the ring of counties surrounding the Twin Cities metro area. But there have been relatively few community solar gardens built outside the metro due to the inflexible contiguous counties restriction, which hinders subscriptions and capital financing for projects sited in Greater Minnesota. This bill creates a conditional exemption to the requirement that all community solar garden subscribers be located within the same county or an adjacent county to the community solar garden. This change will spread out development opportunities for future projects. In closing, this update to the community solar garden statute will create jobs by increasing solar development. It will allow more farmers to diversify their income streams, as well as increase solar energy opportunities as we transition away from fossil fuel energy generation. I have two testifiers with me today. First up is Eric Passy, Chief Development Officer with Impact Solar.
Mr. Passy, welcome to the committee.
Greetings, Chair Long and committee members. Thank you for hearing my testimony today. My name is Eric Passy, and I am the Chief Development Officer and co-owner of Impact Power Solutions. We're headquartered in Roseville, Minnesota, and recently recognized as the largest Midwest-based commercial solar development company by our primary industry publication. In 2021, we're celebrating 30 years in business. I can't believe it. Time flies. IPS developed solar projects across the country now, but really grew up during the advent of our state's community solar program after the passage of the 2013 Solar Jobs Act. Since that time, we've helped move Minnesota forward in several key and distinct ways. And by we, I'm referring to the solar industry. First, we've helped hundreds of farmers create stable income for themselves and their families during unprecedented crop volatility. Second, we've created hundreds of good paying local construction jobs. Third, solar developers have upgraded Xcel's aging infrastructure on our own dime. And finally, developers have provided millions of dollars in savings. And in IPS's case, mostly for schools and municipalities across the state, and we've created new tax revenue for rural communities in the process. The community solar program in Minnesota is important to the state's growing but nascent clean energy industry. The somewhat arbitrary requirement that subscribers be located in the same or adjacent county has restricted access, especially to underrepresented communities and organizations serving those communities. For example, in 2019, the St. Paul Public Housing Authority released a request for proposal to provide solar savings to its residents and didn't receive a single response because of this issue. Minnesota's program was modeled after Xcel's program in Colorado, And in 2019, their legislature modernized their program by eliminating this provision. In summary, we need to support the solar industry and can do so without budget impacts by making this small administrative tweak to the community solar program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Posse. Representative Aiken, would you like to introduce your next testifier?
Yes, I would. Next up is Mr. Reed Richardson.
Mr. Richardson, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Representative Aiken, and members of the committee. Thank you. My name is Reed Richardson. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of U.S. Solar. We're a developer, owner, and operator of community solar gardens based in Minnesota, officing out of Butler Square, downtown Minneapolis. We've built our business based largely on the Minnesota Community Solar Garden Program, having completed over 70 individual megawatt plus projects. Now we're exporting our project development to other states around the country. The impact of this program on us and the folks that we've worked with have been quite positive. We've constructed over $250 million of projects in Minnesota. We employ about 25 people in Minnesota. We've worked with over a dozen Minnesota-based contractors, much of whom are union. We've provided dozens of jobs for each of those contractors. We've purchased equipment from local manufacturers and suppliers, including nearly $30 million of solar panels from Helene, a module supplier located in northern Minnesota. We directly contract with about 1,500 residential subscribers and dozens of schools and other community organizations. Our projects participate in rural electrical infrastructure upgrades to connect to the feeders and substations. And additionally, our projects pay over $1 million annually in rent to over 70 landowners to lease portions of fields for their farm operations in over 25 counties across Minnesota, from as far north as Clay County near Moorhead to as far south as Freeborn County down by Albert Lea. And on that land, we've converted nearly 1,000 acres back to native prairie grass and pollinator-friendly habitat. And here's the upshot. There are plenty of rural landowners that want to participate in this program and host the 7-acre solar garden, but a vast majority of the projects are getting squeezed into the same areas and the same substations. And there are plenty of electrical customers that want to subscribe, but the many of whom are located in suburban and urban areas don't have access. Without this fix to the arbitrary contiguous county rule, both of these groups will be left out as the opportunities are drying up. But with this fix, which, by the way, is similar to how community solar operates in Colorado, Illinois, New York, and several other markets, we can contribute greatly towards clean energy and decarbonization goals expressed by government, businesses, and utilities alike. We can provide access to more urban subscribers, and we can give rural property owners and contractors additional opportunity to participate and earn income, all of which can be accomplished without new programs, rules, regulations, or government spend, all of this in the time of COVID economic recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson. We have four individuals signed up for public testimony. We're going to have to keep to a tight 2-minute limit to be able to keep on track today. And first we have Ms. Madeline Gold. Ms. Gold, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Long, Vice Chair Aiken, and esteemed members of the committee. And thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important legislation. I'm here to talk to you about why your community solar program isn't living up to its full potential and promise and what you can do about it. I'm Madeline Gould, the policy and regulatory lead in the West and Midwest for Arcadia, which is the first nationwide digital energy services platform. Our job is to connect utility customers with clean energy while also helping them save money. We currently have more than 450,000 members spread across all 50 states, including almost 5,000 in the state of Minnesota. We're a market leader in community solar, managing more than 300 megawatts of residential community solar subscriptions across 7 states, and our subscribers average 5 to 10% savings on their monthly bills. As we've heard today, the contiguous county requirement limits what projects subscribers can participate in, and it not only limits the number of people that can subscribe to gardens, but also limits where they're developed. So removing this requirement opens up the entire state of Minnesota for development and allows more Minnesota residents to receive and realize the benefits of subscribing. Arcadia has spent the last 4 years becoming a market leader in managing residential subscribers of community solar across the country, and we have pushed for the most customer-friendly terms like no termination or exit fees, no credit checks. These are crucial for renters who might move frequently and low to moderate income subscribers who don't meet the typical credit requirements of other projects. We're able to offer these flexible terms because we can replace a subscriber who decides, for whatever reason, to leave a project with another Arcadia member in the area. Arcadia has not yet entered the Minnesota community solar market because the contiguous county requirement hinders our ability as a subscriber management organization to maintain subscription levels of projects at appropriate levels given our flexible offering. This requirement is holding Minnesota's program back from fulfilling its potential and at a time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to hear from Kevin Prentice. Welcome, Mr. Prentice.
Thank you, Chair Long and committee members. Kevin Prentice on behalf of Liuna, Minnesota, and North Dakota. We represent 12,000 construction laborers and their families across Minnesota and North Dakota who work in a variety of areas of construction, from building to civil to energy and fuels infrastructure. We're very excited about the clean energy transition and the work to move that forward, to accelerate it, and to make sure that it creates the same kind of high quality jobs that we've seen in conventional energy. I'm testifying today, I think as this committee knows, we're strongly supportive of whether it's the government, the governor's 100% plan, you know, that Chair Long has introduced, or, you know, other clean energy advancements. We've seen a lot of success there. We have some concerns about the community solar garden program and that we don't have the same standards of transparency or, frankly, the same labor standards that we're seeing on the utility side of solar and wind installation. A lot of hard work has been done by the developers to make sure that we're creating high-quality jobs for local residents here in Minnesota. And we have transparency with the projects that are regulated by the Public Utilities Commission. We've continued to have concerns on the community solar side that, you know, these projects, which are significantly subsidized by our members who are utility ratepayers, aren't held to the same standards, that there isn't any local hire reporting or job reporting, and that, you know, based on the initial surveys we've done, we're finding a similar issue of out-of-state workforce brought in to build some of these that were expected to create local jobs. And we've also run into some issues around contractors being hired that are being brought to court for allegations of not paying their workers, you know, not paying others. And so we just encourage the committee to think about what needs to be done on the community solar side to make sure that we have the same standards for community solar that we would hold for other types of energy investments. Appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Prentice. Next, we are hearing from John Reynolds. Mr. Reynolds, welcome to the committee.
Chair Long, thank you, members of the committee, and Chair, thank you for the opportunity to comment today. I'm John Reynolds, Energy Policy Director for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. The Minnesota Chamber is a statewide organization representing more than 6,300 businesses of all types and sizes throughout our state. We believe in affordable, reliable, and cleaner energy. Our organization works hard to help member companies reduce their energy consumption, divert waste, and minimize environmental impact. Affordable and reliable energy is vital to Minnesota's economic success and good-paying jobs all over the state. Unfortunately, House File 683 and House File XX will make Minnesota's electric rates even less competitive by allowing for significant expansion of Minnesota's extraordinarily expensive community solar garden program without much-needed reform. When the community solar program was created in 2013, the economics of solar energy were substantially different than they are now. Ultimately, continued expansion of the program as it exists today will impede a cost-effective transition to cleaner energy. Today, as utilities, businesses, and others move rapidly toward voluntary carbon reduction goals, community solar is among the least cost-effective methods of producing electric power. The cost of utility customers is significant. By next year, Xcel Energy customers will pay $150 million more for a community solar garden than they would if the exact same energy came from utility scale solar. This growth will continue exponentially until real reform occurs. It's important to remember, community solar isn't the only way for businesses or other customers to procure renewable energy. It's just one of the most expensive for ratepayers. Thank you again for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. And our final public testifier is Mr. Rick Evans. Mr. Evans, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Rick Evans with Xcel Energy. We distributed some written information to the members of the committee, and I would encourage you all to review that. And please give us a call if you have questions about the information provided there. In sum, that information shows that the Community Solar Garden Program in Minnesota is very expensive for our customers who pay for this in a direct pass-through through their bills. The distribution of benefits is extremely inequitable, with businesses both in Minnesota and outside Minnesota being the primary beneficiaries, while residential customers pay a larger share of the bills. Third, it is already having a significant impact on our customers' bills. And because these are 25-year contracts, this impact is only going to go up for the next 25 years. A couple of the testifiers had made mention of the program in Colorado. I would strongly encourage the committee to look at the program in Colorado, which is significantly different than the program in Minnesota, and was able to remove the contiguous county requirement, but only because of the protections that are provided to our customers there. We are currently working with the solar development community in coordination with the chair and the chair of the Senate committee to try to find a way to reform this program in a larger direction than what is contained in House File 653. Our goals in that are to lower the cost to our customers, to eliminate the inequitable distribution of benefits, to advance the installation of distributed solar and provide a robust market for the solar developers who want to participate in that market. We would encourage the legislature to promote those discussions with the solar industry to find an equitable solution to a program which, frankly, is only going to get worse if we don't start to reform it in a more serious way, more comprehensive way than House File 653. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Given the number of amendments, we have a very limited amount of time for questions, but we do have about 5 minutes. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Really quickly, it was mentioned that this would be a statewide program. If I'm not correct, it would only be, I think Ms. Madeline Gould said it was statewide, but it would only be in Xcel territory. Am I correct?
Representative Aiken.
Yes, Representative Swazinski, you're correct.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, sorry. And it just also one last question quickly before we get to amendments. One of the issues was that you said this development would not be happening. It's my understanding that community solar has gotten to the point where it's actually just displacing industrial solar. Would you be open to an amendment that would allow that we don't really care which development, whether it's large or small, to say that as long as it's not displacing development that is more affordable to customers, that it could be built? Would you be open to that amendment?
Representative Aiken.
Representative Slavinsky, I would certainly be, this bill is going to be laid over, so I'm certainly happy to talk with you more about your suggestion. I would look forward to that opportunity in the coming days and weeks.
Representative Slavinsky, do you have a follow-up? I don't see one. Okay. Seeing no more hands for questions, we will turn to amendments. And the first amendment we have is the A1 amendment. Who will be offering the A1 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'll offer it, I guess.
Okay. And before I turn to you, I should mention that given the large number of amendments, and I conveyed this to Representative Susanke before the committee, will have 1 minute per side for debate in order to make sure we can get to all the amendments. Representative Swazinski.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question before we get started. If the opposing doesn't use their minute, can we use those seconds?
Representative Swazinski, no. I have factored into my time that we may not use all the time on our side.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski.
Yes, I would offer the A1 amendment to House File 653.
Representative Swazinski offers the A1. Representative Swazinski, please tell us about your amendment.
Yes, this amendment would require that the solar gardens and its owners be located within the service territory of Xcel Energy. It's my belief that currently over 87% of solar garden owners are located out of state. You know, I think Ms. Madeline Gould talked about her portfolio of investors that she helps focus their investments here in Minnesota from out of state. And this would really require, you know, we call it community solar. And I think either that or we should just change the name. And this would just require that the people are local, the people live within our communities that are investing in this. And I would ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Akam to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Swazinski. I would respectfully oppose the amendment. I think that it is in contrary to free market principles, and so I would recommend a no vote.
Any further discussion? Seeing none and a roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
You bet.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo. Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Lisligard.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A2 amendment. Is there someone who will offer the A2?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll be offering the A2.
Representative Igo moves the A2 amendment. Representative Igo, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my A2 amendment would require the new solar gardens to have 100% residential subscribers to this bill. So I just think it's really important that as we talk about community solar, we do just that, keep it community. So thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to roll call this amendment.
Representative Iago requests a roll call. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Akin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Igo, I certainly agree that we need to increase subscribers from the residential sector, but I think keeping things out like schools and churches and other organizations, I don't think that's appropriate. And so I would oppose the amendment and recommend a no vote.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Swazinski.
Sorry, I'm just slow to get my button pushed. You know, and I think, Mr. Chair, that this amendment really does fit. I mean, you act like there are no other options. There are every church, every school can put solar on the roof. Every church, every school can put solar someplace. The idea that they have to prescribe to this is, you know, not really. We talked, Chair Akam talked a little bit about market principles. This whole bill has nothing to do with market principles. If it would be, we would be not building them. We are forced to buy this. So the idea that we can prescribe it, we don't want to support amendments because it's against market principles. You know, this whole bill is against market principles because no, it's government mandated prices. It's, you know, required that they don't even follow the rules of industrial solar. You know, if we want to talk about market principles, we should maybe back up the conversation to the roots of this, not the end. So thank you.
Time for debate has expired and a roll call having been requested. The clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akam.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
You bet.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes. Yeah.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Ayo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lisligard?
No.
Representative Meckland?
Meckland, yes.
Okay. Representative Munson?
Munson, yes.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
Being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A3 amendment. Will someone be offering the A3?
Yes, Chair Long, I would like to offer the A3 amendment.
Representative Bo moves the A3 amendment. Representative Bo, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A3 would require that 60% of the output of a new solar garden be reserved for low-income residential customers. Currently, existing solar gardens have only 13% of their capacity going to residential customers, and there is no requirement for low-income members, and I would request a roll call with this.
Roll call has been requested. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Akin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Bowe. I think that, Representative Bowe, you bring up a really important subject, and I think that you'll be really excited to hear about the next bill that we're going to talk about with Representative Long's Community Access Program. And I think we're hoping to develop a program solely for that. And so I appreciate the amendment, but I'm going to recommend a no vote today.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, and a roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akin.
No.
Minority Leader Buzinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
No.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Meckland, yes.
Representative Munson?
Munson, no.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not. Oh, never mind. There being 6 ayes and 11 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A4 amendment. Who will be offering the A4?
Representative Grunhagen, I'm offering the A4.
Representative Grunhagen moves the A4. Representative Grunhagen, to your amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this amendment would basically double the size of the setback of the solar gardens from 100 feet to 200 feet for residential properties. You know, I've talked to my township in the past and counties. 100 feet is a setback from a property line. Doesn't even sound anywhere close to what our local townships and counties require. I think 200 feet is much more reasonable. In fact, some of the counties or townships require even further setbacks from property lines because of the chance of, you know, things changing in terms of the structure of the area or whatever. So I would strongly encourage at least a 200-foot setback from residential property lines. I think residents would appreciate that amount of setback. So, Mr. Chair, I'd call for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Grunhagen used the full minute for his side. Representative Akin, discussion of the amendment.
I appreciate the suggestion, Representative Grunhagen. I think 100 feet is reasonable, so I recommend a no vote.
There being a roll call requested, the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akin.
No.
Minority Leader Buzinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Franson votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Representative Meckland, yes.
Representative Munson.
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A5 amendment. Will somebody be offering the A5?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be offering the A5 amendment.
Representative Meckland moves the A5. Representative Meckland, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this amendment would require that these new solar gardens that we're proposing to go forward with would be constructed with using solar panels that are made in the USA. We talk about creating jobs all the time. I don't know why we keep shipping them overseas, and this would be a good step in the right direction to ensure that these jobs that you're creating are kept right here in our own country.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen.
Thank you.
Discussion to the amendment, Representative Akin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Mecklen. I truly wish more panels were manufactured in the United States, and I think as we continue to pass programs like expanding community solar, those things might happen. So I look forward to that when it does. I think, unfortunately, that isn't the case today, and so I recommend a no vote.
Further discussion to the amendment. Representative Mecklen, did you wish to be...
One quick thing, and then I'll let you get to questions. I would ask for a roll call. Thank you.
Representative Mecklen requests a roll call. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, encourage support for this amendment. You know, it is so vitally important that we try to keep the solar panel production here in the United States. And I can't think of a better way to do it than to incentivize the use and mining of copper and nickel here in northeastern Minnesota to build these solar panels for this project. And I would encourage everyone to look up my new House resolution, number 6, that's going to be incentivizing production just like this here in our state. So thank you so much. And again, I would encourage a yes vote on this amendment.
Representative Swazinski, you have the remaining 5 seconds.
Wow, thank you. Just a quick question. It was my understanding when we had Minnesota Made Solar in the past that the only parts of the solar panel that were made in Minnesota were actually just the aluminum bracket. Would this kind of go along those lines, Representative Mecklen, or would we actually require that the solar panels themselves were made, like the actual silicon and the rest would be actually made in Minnesota or in the USA?
Representative Mecklen, very briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think the intent of this is to try to get as much made in the United States as possible. And so I would say that it's to make the whole thing. But, you know, at least if what we currently do have here, let's try to utilize that for the time being.
Representative Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Very briefly, I just want to say that I've reviewed this language. I don't think it's workable, but I admire the goal. But more to the point, I think the author should work with Representative Lislegard, who's been a real leader on trying to make sure that this energy production happens in the state. Maybe Representative Lislegard would have a better approach that could be more workable than this language.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Time for debate has expired. A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Akin.
No.
Majority Leader Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson?
Franson votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Aye.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
Lislegard votes yes.
Representative Mecklen?
Mecklen votes yes.
Representative Munson?
Aye.
Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 8 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A6 amendment. Who is offering the A6?
Mr. Chair, Representative Swazinski offers the A6 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A6. Representative Swazinski, to your amendment.
Yes, we heard, you know, the other day talking about prime farmland and the installation of solar farm. You know, I think this is a good amendment. We really need to be focused on, right now there's a current rule at the PUC that talks about protecting prime farmland. You know, no one will argue the fact that Minnesota is not the breadbasket of the United States and globally with our ag exports and the rest. And really we have a choice to make as legislators. We can either protect prime farmland, which is really the best farmland to grow food and protein and nutrients for the population, or we can protect groundwater. And this would really focus that rule so that we're building solar farms on highly erodible land or sandy ground that is not prime. We could save, if we would move all solar production to just irrigated land, it would save up to 20 billion gallons of water per year. And I would say, folks, this only makes sense. Don't fall for the arguments that say, you know, we just need to move this anywhere and everywhere. We can make the choice as legislators to make a positive difference in Minnesota, and this amendment will help do that.
Representative Swazinski has used the time for debate on his side. Further debate, Representative Akin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Sosinski. I think, you know, farmers are entering into these contracts voluntarily for how and determine how to use their own land. I'm very interested in your issue around irrigation and would love to talk to you about potentially another program that might be appropriate there, but I oppose this amendment and recommend a no vote.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A6 amendment say aye. All those opposed, nay.
Aye.
No.
Nay.
Aye.
The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A7 amendment. Who is moving the A7?
Yes, I will move the A7 amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski moves the A7. Representative Swazinski, to your amendment.
This really amendment really focuses solar gardens to be really on the same playing field and really requires that the PUC approve solar garden plans that are consistent with statutory goals, having retail rates in Minnesota that are at least 5% below the national average. We all know that this program is heavily subsidized by ratepayers through government mandate. And this would really focus so that the PUC could get a better handle on finding better, cheaper forms. We know that community solar is only displacing cheaper, more affordable, less expensive industrial solar. And this would at least put them on a playing field that would make sense for ratepayers. And I ask for a roll call.
Representative Swazinski requests a roll call. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Aiken.
Thank you, Chair Long and Representative Swazinski. I think that public interest has much more to do with than just retail rates, and so I would oppose this amendment and recommend a no vote.
Representative Aiken recommends a no vote, seeing no further discussion of the amendment and a roll call having been requested. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Vice Chair Aiken.
No.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Franson votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Meckland?
Meckland, yes.
Representative Munson?
Aye.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
Being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A9 amendment. Who will be offering the A9?
Mr. Chair, I'll offer the
Representative Swazinski moves the A9. Representative Swazinski, to your amendment.
You know, we hear over and over about folks that are impacted by the plants that are currently being phased out of commission throughout the state. And this amendment really focuses in on, let's keep the development local. Let's keep this development as a community. And if, we've got some coal plants that are gonna be coming offline, and this would really push to have these sites for community solar gardens to be within 5 miles of those decommissioned plants. And this would help with the economic development of those areas and benefit communities historically, potentially, that were burdened by high levels of pollution. It also reserves 20% of the output for residential customers. So I think on average, we heard earlier in testimony that it was only 13% of production was actually being used by residential. And this would actually just help get the bill right where it was supposed to be originally at 20%. And I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion of the amendment, Representative Aiken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Swazinski. I think that within the current language of the Community Solar Gardens Bill, there's already geographic limitations, and I don't think we need to add any more, but appreciate the suggestion. I would recommend a no vote.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A9 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Aye.
No.
No.
The nays have it. The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A8 amendment. Is there anyone who is planning to move the A8?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I figured you would kind of know who was moving the A8.
Representative Meckland to the A8.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I've had this amendment numerous times. I'm going to continue to keep bringing this forward. This goes to, as we hear about these, you know, electrification and renewables, and what this amendment does is it would prohibit local governments from banning natural gas and particularly propane and new construction going forward. And I think this is a good thing. I did take Representative Stevenson's advice and had it drafted into a bill. Unfortunately, it's kind of tied up in the reviver's office for the hearing now. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd ask for a roll call.
Representative Meckland asks for a roll call. Representative Meckland, I let your side know ahead of time that I would be ruling this amendment out of order as not germane. I'd ask that you withdraw the amendment to avoid that, if you would be willing.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski.
No, I appreciate you reaching out to me and talking about this particular issue, but I was looking through the rules of the committee and I did not see any rule that talked about germaneness in those rules.
Germaneness is a rule in Masons which governs the committee. So we do have a requirement for germaneness for amendments. Representative Meckland, would you care to withdraw the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Swazinski.
This is an exceptionally important topic for Representative Meckland, and I think just his energy to have it. I would personally encourage Representative Meckland to withdraw the amendment if you will agree to actually have a hearing on the bill. We have yet to have a single bill heard as Republicans in this committee. Energy is an exceptionally big part of our economy, and we do appreciate it. Would you commit to at least hearing the bill once it comes through? Obviously we don't need a bill in front of us. Representative Meckland will be happy to provide you the language. Would you commit to potentially hearing this bill in the next week or two?
Representative Swazinski, I can't commit to hearing a bill that I haven't seen. I will note that Representative Meckland has already had a vote on this amendment when it was germane to one of the underlying bills. So this amendment has been discussed and voted on in this committee in the past. Representative Meckland, would you care to withdraw your amendment?
Mr. Chair, I will withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Meckland. That concludes the amendments for the bill. Representative Bacon, do you have closing remarks to your bill?
I don't. I appreciate the conversation today and hope that we can continue conversations on this important issue going forward. And I just renew my motion to have House File 653 to be laid over.
Representative Bacon removes her motion that House 653 be laid over, and the bill is laid over. Next, we have House File 1397, which is my bill, and I will be turning the gavel over to Representative Akam for the purposes of hearing my bill.
Thank you, Representative Long. Would you like to move your bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that House File 1397 be laid over.
Thank you. 1397 will be laid over. Welcome to committee, and would you like to tell us about your bill?
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. We've heard concerns about wanting more residential subscribers and wanting to have more low income access. And I agree, and this bill will do both of those things. This bill would create the Community Access Project, Community Solar Program. And the primary reason we don't see more residential subscribers right now is simple. It is expensive to sign them up. And this bill would adjust the rate for these projects and also would require that there be no credit check filter to allow more income households to participate. So regardless of your feelings on the existing community solar program, I'm hoping we can all agree that this is a program we can get behind. And I have three testifiers here to speak to the bill today.
Great, would you like to go ahead and introduce your first testifier?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, we will be hearing from Timothy Benherder Thomas, followed by Minister Bishop Howell.
Thank you, Representative Long and Chair Akam and committee. My name is Timothy Denner Thomas. I'm General Manager of Cooperative Energy Futures. We are a community solar developer that is cooperatively owned with about 900 member owners across the state. We're really here to speak in support of the bill and the focus on residential access in the community solar program. As we've discussed, the program has been widely successful in getting more clean energy on the grid, but as has been mentioned, the residential access has been lower than would be desired, and particularly low-income access has been a challenge. Again, we're a member-owned co-op. We're focused on bringing communities together to create community solar that works for local community needs and creates jobs for people who need it most. We really believe in connecting many different people. Our members include residents of manufactured housing parks in Fridley and Northfield, residents of affordable housing in the Twin Cities and Mankato, and members of recent immigrant communities, the Somali and Latino community in Faribault and St. Cloud. We really believe in fitting community solar into the local landscape, which in areas like downtown Minneapolis looks like our Ramp A community solar garden on the canopy of a parking garage, and in rural parts of the state integrates with pollinator-friendly landscaping into rural communities. We're really excited by the work we've been able to do. Unfortunately, the job has gotten a lot harder through the shift to value of solar. The shift to value of solar has really made a big difference in the overall cost effectiveness of the program in terms of ensuring ratepayers are not paying extra for future solar gardens. But it really created a massive drop in the costs for residential ratepayers in that they're now getting more than 30% less compensation than they were in the earlier phases of the program. This is also really an important justice issue because right now, if you're a residential household and you can afford to put solar on your own roof, you're getting your retail rate. If you're a low-income tenant or a household who can't afford to put solar on your own roof, you're now getting over 30% less value for the solar you're participating in. We're really excited about how House File 1397 addresses this injustice by restoring retail rate bill credits, but only for projects that are focused on at least 50% residential and don't have income or credit checks, as Representative Long mentioned. We are really excited to make our model of accessible community solar possible across the state, and we need your help to make it happen. Thank you.
I was muted. Representative Long, would you like to introduce your next testifier?
Yes, next we will be hearing from Bishop Howell.
Thank you, Representative Long, and to all committee members. Since the legislature approved it in 2013, the Solar Garden Initiative has created a vast market of the renewable energy, and people who can install panels on their own can buy a piece of a shared solar plot to fight climate change and to get credits to decrease their excess energy bill. Shiloh Temple is a parish that I pastor, and in 2018, we installed a 200-kilowatt solar array on our roof that supplies energy for about 30 families in the community, and we believe that our presence here in the neighborhood is a great success. Shiloh Temple and the mosque and 30 community residents together received around $31,000 in gross savings on their electric bills by participating in a local community solar. Thank you very much.
And Representative Long, it looks like you have one more testifier.
I do, Mr. Roger Steinkin.
Yes, thank you, Chair Long and members of the committee. My name is Roger Steinkamp, and I'm a retired individual on a fixed income in Faribault, where I'm a member of the Cooperative Energy Futures Solar Garden. Years ago, I was involved in a project to install both wind and solar as a demonstration for the project. At that time, it was difficult to justify the investment, but times have changed. And when I was approached by CEF to join the cooperative, I was skeptical. Being on a fixed income, I didn't have the luxury to make investments out of pure concern for the environment. In addition, I wanted to be part of the decision-making process. The CEF Solar Garden Cooperative has given me the opportunity to satisfy both criteria. During the initial phase of paying for the investment, my bills average out over the year to be about the same as I was paying to Excel. And at the same time, I was able to join the board to better understand how this all works and participate in the decision-making of the cooperative. The cooperative model gives access to fixed income and low-income folks and empowers members in the decision-making process. It's both fair to people who wish to invest in solar directly and those who do not have the means in terms of land or money. It benefits the entire community. Okay.
Thank you. Representative Long, anything else that you'd any final comments you'd like about your bill?
No, Representative Akam, thank you. Happy to take questions.
Great. Looking for committee questions. It looks like Representative Grunhagen.
I'll pass. I'll pass till after the amendments.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question would be to the chair or the testifiers. What, you know, I appreciate the folks from the Shiloh Church. It sounded like the current program worked just fine for them. What is the price, Chair Long, that you are, you know, you said it's expensive to recruit community people, individuals for these residential type programs? What is the price that you're going to be mandating to ratepayers with this expansion of this program?
Representative Long?
Thank you, Chair Akam, Representative Swazinski, for the question. So the current value of solar rate is about 9 cents a kilowatt hour, which is lower than the applicable retail rate. I don't actually know the current applicable retail rate. Maybe Mr. Denherter Thomas can speak to that. But the bill would require the applicable retail rate, which would allow for the additional cost of recruiting more residential ratepayers and also for the additional risk of taking on low-income ratepayers. Maybe Mr. Denherter Thomas could add more.
Yes, Mr. Denherter Thomas.
Thank you, Chair and Representatives. Yes, currently the residential retail rate, again, that would only apply for residential subscribers in XL territory, is about 13.5 cents. I will again just reiterate that that is the same value that residents receive if they're able to install solar on their own roof. And in fact, there's additional incentives available for those homeowners who are able to install solar on their own roof. The retail rate for commercial customers is quite a bit lower.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. And then this question, would there be any geographical limitations with this community access solar garden program, or would it be limited to the contiguous counties, or do you, what do you do with that portion?
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Representative Swazinski. So it would be limited to the XL territory.
So you would eliminate the contiguous county part of that. So it wouldn't actually have to be on someone's roof or anywhere where they could see it.
Representative Long.
There is no requirement now that it is on your own roof or within eyesight. Contiguous county, I don't believe would apply to this section as drafted.
Mr. Chair, and then just one last question. Is there a cap? We've heard, you know, the Colorado program has a cap on how much access this is used. We've talked about capping these programs in the past with community solar and now this, what we're calling community access program. Will you cap the amount of development, or will that just kind of be a free-for-all to displace industrial solar?
Representative Long.
Thank you, Chair Akam. So there would not be a cap on this program. The goal for this program would be to create a more equitable playing field for folks to have access to solar. Right now, if you are a homeowner who has a roof access, so long as you don't live in a community that bans it, as we've heard earlier, you can put solar on your roof. But if you are in you would get paid the net metering value for that solar. But if you are somebody who lives in an apartment building or in another house where you don't have access to solar, then you can't take advantage of that. And so this would really create more equity for having folks get better access to solar. And I'll also note that this is not displacing utility scale solar. If anything, this is displacing coal, where we know that we're already seeing operations on coming down on shoulder seasons. And I'm all for putting more solar on and ramping down our coal supply.
Representative Swazinski, we need to move on to amendments. Can you make a quick comment, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. We've heard, you know, we heard earlier, I think it was Representative Wozlowick had a bill that talked about banning the ability of HOAs to limit solar. Would you consider just removing this bill if we got rid of the HOA ban on solar panels on roofs? I mean, it sounds like it's, if you don't have the ability, this is kind of what's the reason behind it. Is that kind of what you're after? Would you consider that kind of a trade? Thank you.
Representative Long.
Thank you for the question, Representative Swiecinski. That does take care of the issue for those who live in HOAs and have the access to solar for their own roof, but that doesn't take into account folks who live in apartment buildings or who don't live in an HOA and still don't have access to solar for their own roof.
Okay, we're going to move on to amendments. And as we did in the previous bill, we're going to limit time on both sides for discussion. And so first up, we have the DE1. Who's offering the DE1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we're fine. The minority is fine opening this up more than a minute apiece. So if you need our support on that, Madam Chair, we're more than willing to do that. I would like to move the DE1 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Swiecinski moves the DE amendment. Can you please tell us about your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment deletes the bill and inserts really contents of a bill that I had previously, 1561 in 2019. I think the idea of some of these bills is looking for reform. And I think this is real reform. This is the stuff that I think when this was initially passed in 2013 by a complete DFL majority, they didn't ever expect it to be, you know, displacing industrial solar. They didn't expect it to be, you know, coming online in such a ferocious way. They sold it as community solar. And this would put a max of 25 megawatts, or essentially putting a cap to protect ratepayers in XL territory. And then this really gets to the meat of the market. We heard about this, gets rid of the market and allows community solar gardens and these community access programs to bid and really say, you know what, we're going to do the best job we can of going out and getting residential customers for the lowest possible price. And this would allow XL to take bids essentially for solar gardens added to the XL system each year. And I think really driving that price and let the market work, because if these are really that popular, we believe that in order to get these things on the ground, these developers will fight to do that. And I think that would benefit not only the customers, but also the subscribers. And I would ask for a roll call. Thank you, Madam Chair.
A roll call being requested. We will take a roll call. Further discussion, Representative Long.
Thank you, Representative Akam. I oppose the amendment. This would functionally end the community solar program, and the cap that is put on it is so low as to be entirely unworkable. And I just want to reiterate too that, as I said before, community solar is not replacing utility scale solar. XL has plans to build 520 megawatts of utility scale solar in the next 5 years while they are ramping down coal with running it seasonally. So as I mentioned before, this is, if anything, displacing coal. And I'd ask members to oppose the amendment.
A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Lead Swiecinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Franson votes no.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Franson votes yes.
Franson changes to yes. Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
No.
Representative Mecklens?
Mecklen, yes.
Representative Munson?
Munson, aye.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A1. Is anyone offering the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Swiecinski. I move the A1 amendment before the committee.
Representative Swiecinski moves the A1. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this amendment, I think, really just adds a bit of consumer protection and some disclosure requirements that I think would really be beneficial for the legislature to understand, policymakers to understand just what's going on with this program. And I think, you know, obviously we talked a little bit before committee started about how Minnesota's really done a pretty decent job on just keeping things above the board so we know exactly what's going on. And I think that helps. And I would ask for your support with this amendment.
Any further discussion, Representative Long?
Thank you, Chair Akam. I do support consumer protections, and if Representative Swiecinski had offered the consumer protections that I'm proposing in the next bill we bring up, I would have accepted them. But this is different language than that, and so at this point, I would oppose the amendment.
All those in favor of the A1, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
No.
Aye. No.
The amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A2 amendment. Is anyone offering the A2 amendment?
This is Representative Grunhagen. I'm offering the A2 amendment.
Representative Grunhagen offers the A2. Can you please tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, this would basically increase the minimum amount of solar from 15% for residential subscribers to 60% community access. And so it would increase it. If we look at XL Energy's information and testimony, only 13% of community solar garden subscribers are residential. So we got a lot of ground to make up. And I think by moving to 60%, we send a strong message that there needs to be a greater emphasis on residential versus to more balance the commercial and industrial and other community solar subscribers. So, Madam Chair, I would strongly encourage a yes vote, and I would call for a roll call.
A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen, for the amendment. I agree that residential is important, which is why I'm bringing this forward, but we do feel like 50% is what's workable, so I would oppose the amendment.
A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll. And
Chair,
the chair votes no. Sorry.
Representative Long?
No.
Minority Leader Swiecinski?
Swiecinski votes yes.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Bowe?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Franson?
Franson votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins? Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lipperts?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
No.
Representative Mecklens?
Mecklen votes aye.
Representative Munson?
Munson, no.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
There being 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A3 amendment. Is anyone offering the A3?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bowe would like to move the A3.
Representative Bowe moves the A3. Representative Bowe, will you tell us about your amendment?
Yes, thank you. This will not add to the cost. Really, it's more just about fair distribution of the benefits. The A3 would assign any renewable energy credits created by a community access solar garden project to the utility that's actually paying for the power. If we don't do this, then the solar garden investors get paid twice for the same power, in effect. And I would ask for a roll call, please.
A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Long?
Thank you, Chair Akam. Thank you, Representative Bowe. I do oppose the amendment. Renewable energy credits, or RECs, are an important part of the incentive for some subscribers.
A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long?
No.
Minority Leader Swiecinski?
Yes.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Bowe?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Franson?
Franson votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lipperts?
No.
Representative Lislegard?
No.
Representative Mecklen?
Mecklen, aye.
Representative Munson?
Munson, aye.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Let's see, next we have the A4 amendment. Is anyone offering the A4?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Chris Swazinski. I would pull the A4 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A4. Representative Swazinski, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Madam, I pulled it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you very well, so I apologize. The A4 has been pulled.
I mean, Madam Chair, I'm happy to talk about it, but I don't plan on offering it.
Okay. I appreciate it. Moving on to the A5 amendment. Is anyone offering the A5 amendment?
Madam Chair, I would like to offer the A5 amendment. This is Representative Swazinski.
Representative Swazinski offers the, or moves the A5. Representative Swazinski, please tell us about your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. This amendment, it just kind of gets back to the amendment that we previously talked about, really with disclosure. It essentially creates a checklist for solar garden subscribers. I just think, you know, a little bit more transparency is a good thing, and just understanding what's going on and who's doing it and some of the financial stuff might be a good thing. So with that, I'd appreciate your vote. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Swazinski. I appreciate the idea of a disclosure checklist, and I like the idea. If that was the only thing in this amendment, then I'd be tempted to accept it, but there's also a 10-day waiting period once the disclosure checklist is given, and I don't think that's workable, so I oppose the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay.
Nay.
No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Let's see, next we have the A6 amendment. Is anyone offering the A6?
Madam Chair, I, Representative Bowen, I would like to pull that A6, please.
The A6 has been pulled. Let's see, next we have the A7 amendment. Is anyone offering the A7?
Yeah, Representative Glenn Grunhagen is.
Representative Grunhagen moves the A7. Representative Grunhagen, please tell us about your amendment.
Now listen carefully, members. This would require that solar garden owners be incorporated in the state of Minnesota. You know, currently 87% of solar garden owners are located outside of the state. In that 80%, 20% are international owners. So we have our ratepayers paying higher electricity rates, and the money is going outside of our state and to internationally and to other parts of our state. Think about that, members. That's ridiculous, okay? What this amendment does, it requires the owner to be incorporated in the state of Minnesota. The least we can do is make sure businesses or individuals that own the solar gardens at least have a stake in the state of Minnesota for the residents who are paying the higher electricity cost and subsidizing all this. I think this is an excellent amendment and should be bipartisan. But please think, we want them in Minnesota. It'll create tax revenue. And then we have more tax revenue to do the things that we want to do for our schools, roads and bridges, and healthcare. By allowing them to own these solar gardens outside of Minnesota, you lose a lot of that. Think about that. You're forcing higher electricity rates, and at the same time, you're allowing people outside of our state and even international corporations and individual to profit off this. So members, I call for a roll call, and I strongly encourage your support for the people of Minnesota. Thank you.
A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. I do oppose the amendment. Besides the constitutional concerns this raises, it's anti-competitive, and I'd ask members to vote no.
A roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Yep.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Franson?
Franson votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippertz?
No.
Representative Lizegard?
No.
Representative Mecklund?
Mecklund, aye.
Representative Munson?
Munson, aye.
Representative Stevenson? Representative Stevenson?
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A8 amendment. Who's offering the A8?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to offer the A8 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A8. Please tell us about your amendment.
Yes, obviously there are some community or some reporting requirements in this community access bill, and this would just extend those same reporting requirements to just all solar gardens. And I'd appreciate the committee's support. And I just kind of want to go back in our conversation just a little bit. Representative Long said that the community solar program only displaces coal. And that's not really true because, you know, when XL or someone else goes to the PUC to talk about what their proposed solar plan is for that year, they subtract the ability of XL to build out industrial with their estimated size of the community solar build-out. So in all reality, I think it's right in the hearing notes that essentially that's what they do. So let's say Xcel Energy wants to build 500 megawatts of solar, and they estimate that community solar will build 100 or 150 or 200, then Xcel is allowed to build the cheaper, more affordable industrial solar of that 300 or whatever's left. So, you know, they're first to the line, they're first to the thing. So I think that conversation just needed to get corrected. So I appreciate the time, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do oppose the amendment. I think this would be burdensome on the community garden managers to comply with. And I'd like to just respond to Representative Swazinski. So that may have been true in the circumstance where there's a fixed amount of solar that they're trying to reach, like the solar standard that applied in the past. But right now, there is no fixed amount of solar, and Xcel has said themselves that solar will be the cheapest energy within 5 years, which is, I think, why they're proposing so much of it. So I think there's a much stronger case to be made that this is displacing coal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A8 amendment, say aye.
You betcha.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. And next we have the A9 amendment. Is anyone offering the A9?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to offer the A9 amendment.
Representative Swazinski moves the A9. Would you please tell us about your amendment?
Yes. So this amendment is pretty straightforward. It prohibits local governments from banning natural gas or propane in new construction. And, you know, obviously this was ruled out of order in the last bill, but I think this is a really important an amendment. And I think people will benefit, the ratepayers will benefit by putting this in today.
The chair would say that looked at in the last bill, that this isn't germane and would be ruled out of order.
You know, Madam Chair, you know, I think we're, obviously this is, you're taking over. I appreciate the job you're doing as chair, but you know, we're using, you know, there is some discretion that chairs have, but we're kind of expanding that into the committee process. This is obviously an energy bill. We're talking about energy, some very basic facts when it comes to, you know, when we talk about a whole energy mix. We're talking about nuclear, we're talking about solar, we're talking about wind, we're talking about coal and natural gas. And I think, you know, we need to be able to have that conversation in real ways, because energy is not is just by itself. There are many different factors. There's many different contributors. And to say, well, this is a solar bill. Well, solar affects wind. Solar affects this. Coal affects this. Nuclear affects that. In order to have that real conversation, we need to be able to have an open discussion on energy as a whole. And I think this amendment gets to that. And I'd appreciate you not objecting to the amendment.
I think, as was pointed out before, we've talked about this amendment on other bills, and so I feel like there has been a chance for discussion. And so, as I said before, I rule the amendment out of order. And I see that's it with the amendments. Is that right? And so we've got how many minutes? 5 minutes, I think, for discussion. Let's see. Representative Grunhagen, do you have questions?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair, for recognizing me. Yeah, I just want to make a statement in regards to the testimony we heard from the Chamber and Xcel Energy. And just so all members are clear, this solar gardens raises cost of electricity to our businesses, farms, and citizens. And when you raise the cost of electricity, the chamber testifier said, John Reynolds, you start putting businesses out of business, or they move out of the state, and that costs us jobs and tax revenue here in the state of Minnesota. So this solar is, you know, expensive, unreliable, and it's dirty, ladies and gentlemen. We've had the testimony on that before. So support of these bills, or any like it, you're hurting the people in Minnesota. You're not helping the environment. It's dirty energy, not clean energy. And you're using slave labor for many of the components inside of solar in foreign countries. You're scarring the land, and you're actually creating more problems, not less, in terms of the environment. So please think this through, members. This does not help our citizens, the environment, businesses, or farms. Please oppose these bills. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Representative Long, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to, but maybe we'll just, why don't we take the other questions, and then I can respond.
That's fair. And we've got 3 minutes left, and so I would really ask that the questions be brief, please. Representative Bo, I think you're next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mine will be brief. I just want to make a comment. I actually like solar and the concept of solar, but community solar, I think, raises the price for this energy, and the utilities are required to purchase that power, that more expensive power. So that's why I'm troubled by community solar. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bo. Representative Swazinski?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And just kind of going back, you know, I'm just looking at the basics of community solar, and then potentially what the impact of this bill would have on the market. And, you know, it's my understanding when a company comes before the PUC, you know, they give a resource plan. And so they say, well, this is our resource plan. This is what we're planning on generating. And Xcel would propose utility solar. And then when it's before the PUC, they say, okay, it's communities, then the community solar gardens are subtracted. You know, this is not part of some mandate. I think Representative Long made it sound like because now it's a little bit less of the developments because of their own, it's still working the same way, whether it's part of the mandate or not. And I just, you know, solar, it cannot replace coal. I mean, coal is a baseload energy source that whether the sun's shining or the wind's not blowing or whatever, it's going to be there. It's backup. It's always going to be there. And solar just doesn't do it. And to say that those are even on an equal playing field is I don't think, is quite being fair to the industry. And as we saw with this last polar vortex, thank goodness we have the generating capacity that we do in Minnesota, and that kept us from a lot of cold homes. So, you know, and with that, Madam Chair, I think this bill probably really isn't ready for prime time, and I would ask to table the bill and ask for a roll call.
The bill being requested to be tabled and a roll call, it's a non-debatable motion, and so there will be a roll call. Clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Representatives, Minority Leader Brzezinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
Dirty.
Representative Christensen.
Sorry, no.
Representative Franzen.
Franzen votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Igo, aye.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lipperts?
No.
Representative Lizegard?
No.
Representative Mecklen?
Mecklen says aye.
Representative Munson?
Munson, aye.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail. We're going to have to move on to the next. Real quick, Representative Long, would you like to, any last comments about your bill before we move on to the next?
No, Madam Chair, I'll just save my comments for the next bill.
Okay. Then did you want to renew your motion?
I think you can just go ahead and lay it over, Madam Chair.
Okay. The 1397 will be laid over, and next we will talk about modifying the Community Solar Garden Program and informational hearing. Go ahead, Representative Long.
Thank you so much, Chair Akam. The bill that we've posted is a discussion draft. As was mentioned, there is an ongoing discussion that is occurring between stakeholders, and this bill is really meant as a placeholder for that discussion. But I do want to talk a little bit about where we're at today, and we have two testifiers as well on this bill. First, Minnesota's community solar program has been a terrific success. There are 800 megawatts of operational capacity. The program has created jobs and has helped grow Minnesota's solar industry. 84% of the current subscribers are residential, and more than 10,000 Minnesota residential customers are saving money with a community solar subscription. All customers, subscribers or not, all customers benefit from community solar. Why is that? They benefit from reduced transmission and distribution costs. They benefit from a more resilient grid. They benefit from avoiding the volatility of gas price spikes like those we saw last month. And perhaps most of all, they benefit from reduced carbon and air pollution. There was a comment that solar is dirty energy. In fact, it is the opposite. We know that air pollution takes 2 years off of our lives in the United States across the board. And solar energy does not do that. Solar energy does not emit air pollution in our communities. The value of solar is designed to be the fair market value of distributed solar to Xcel and its ratepayers. In other words, it will hold ratepayers harmless. The cost numbers that you heard earlier ignore the benefits, which value of solar includes. So comparing a retail program like community solar to utility scale solar is really apples to oranges. A subscriber can put solar on their own roof at twice the cost of community solar, and this is net metered. Community solar allows for savings compared to lease costs, and also community solar, as is mentioned, is distributed. So it is not accurate to compare it to utility scale solar, which does not have the same benefits of reducing transmission and distribution costs that we see with a distributed energy. But we know that the program has faced years of debate. We have learned many lessons since this bill was first passed. And that's why Senator Senjum and I have been convening the stakeholders together to try to reach agreement. This bill is really a placeholder for these negotiations. I think there's mutual interest in helping stabilize the community solar program and to stop fighting it out at the legislature or the PUC year after year. I'm encouraged that these discussions are taking place, and I'm hopeful we will be able to find agreement this session. And with that, I'll invite my two testifiers. First, we have Professor Gabe Chan.
Thank you. Mr. Chan, please give us your name and your testimony, please.
Great. Thank you, committee, for the opportunity to testify before you this morning. My name is Gabriel Chan. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Minnesota, but appearing here in my own personal capacity and not on behalf of the university. So in my comments, I'd like to make 3 points. The first is to clearly differentiate between community solar projects established in the initial years of the program and new projects moving forward that fall under the value of solar tariff. The value of solar tariff, which is very clearly a compensation tariff and not an incentive to spur the market beyond its social value of solar. The second point I'd like to make is that the value of solar framework is sound from both a conceptual and a legal perspective. It was designed to eliminate cross-subsidy concerns associated with other solar payment schemes and to be fair to the utility and non-solar customers. And the value of solar framework was widely supported by stakeholders at the time of its conceptualization. And third and finally, that there is room for improvement in refining the value of solar framework to better reflect solar's contribution to system value, and that averaging the value of solar over multiple years would be a sound way to do that. So on the first point, differentiating between the initial years of the community solar program and moving forward, the 2013 legislation that created the community solar program set initial compensation at the applicable retail rate, which is a rate that's higher than the current value of solar. There was a transition period in the first years of the program that allowed time for stakeholders to become familiar with the value of solar framework. But to be very clear, since its initial conceptualization, the value of solar was designed to be a cost-efficient compensation mechanism for solar and not an incentive to spur the market for solar beyond its social value. Policy incentives like the residential adder that was added a few years ago are clearly separated from the value of solar and designed to achieve distinct goals. Starting in 2017, all new community solar projects are compensated under the value of solar. About 100 megawatts of operating community solar fall under the value of solar, and moving forward, all projects fall under the value of solar. So the value of solar framework is really how to think about compensation for solar moving forward. The value of solar was widely supported at the time of its establishment in 2013, and I believe that it's still conceptually sound. The rationale for the value of solar is this: only a relatively small subset of the benefits of solar can be valued by competitive energy markets, particularly in the context of a vertically integrated utility like Xcel Energy. So instead, non-market valuation for many of the benefits of solar act as a surrogate for competitive pricing. This is required to compensate solar for the real value provided by solar installations to the electric system. The value of solar creates a price signal to community solar developers and community solar subscribers that approximates what an efficient market would signal to producers based on the benefits that solar creates for those beneficiaries. And from
Mr. economic- Chan, can I ask you to wrap up in 30 seconds, please?
Oh, yes, I'll wrap up. So let me just say that the value of solar was widely supported. The Department of Commerce, Xcel Energy, the consulting firm Clean Power Research all provided supporting statements at the time of its conception on the concept. We can continue work to refine the value of solar. Averaging over 3 years sounds like a sound way to do this, particularly given the volatility in the value of solar. And moving forward, I think we should think of the value of solar as a way to create an adaptive management framework for distributed energy resources. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chan. Representative Long, you had another testifier. Would you like to call your other testifier?
Yes, Mr. David Schaefer.
And Mr. Schaefer, welcome to the committee. If you can make your comments very brief, please.
Madam Chair and members of the Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee, I'm David Schaefer, Executive Director of the Minnesota Solar Energy Industries Association. We represent about 115 different solar companies or solar-related businesses that employ over 4,200 Minnesotans. I'm here today in support of not only this community solar garden bill I'm testifying for at the moment, but also the two previous bills. And I want to thank Representative Long and for you bringing those bills forward. Due to the time, I'll just skip down in my testimony and mention that we still support the contiguous county provision that's included within this bill. The same is true of the residential access piece. What I want to spend my time on today is speaking about the third piece that's really important to us, which is the 1 to 3 megawatt size increase. This change makes sense for many reasons. Developers get to take advantage of economies of scale. They can handle more substantial upgrade costs because they're able to aggregate their installation work to one area. This means they can develop gardens that were previously too expensive to interconnect. Furthermore, with gardens starting to hit capacity limits in some spaces, the best way for this program to continue forward is to allow developers to band together to share in upgrade costs. With larger gardens come fewer developers that are required to coordinate, thus making it simpler to upgrade a substation and continue to move this program forward. So the three items, the contiguous county, the residential access, and the size increase, are our top priorities as an industry. And we're excited to see them included in this bill, but we're also excited to see the averaging of the value of solar. And I want to be clear that this bill is not a community solar garden wish list. There are reasonable guardrails inserted in order to ensure that this program is manageable for Xcel and that consumers are adequately protected, and they start the framework of any type of conversation that we might have with the utilities after this hearing. In 2020, there were over 400 megawatts of applications submitted. So had this bill been implemented last year, only 225 megawatts would be going forward, assuming those
applications. I need to wrap up, Mr. Schaefer. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No problem. So the last thing I'll just say is that lines 3.12 through 4.7 are all new regulations on solar garden industry to ensure that consumers can enter into a CSG contract with confidence. That's the bulk of this bill. So just keep that in mind as this works its way through, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions that we might have in the last minute.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. And really quickly, Representative Swazinski, I'm so sorry we're out of time, and I think we have a floor session, so you've got 1 minute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad Mr. Schaefer clarified. It was that you're calling a limit of 225. I thought maybe that was a typo, but you were going to limit it to 25, and it was just a typo. Sorry about that.
Is that all, Mr. Swazinski, or Representative Swazinski? Excuse me.
Yes, Madam Chair, I think we need to get to
yes, session. We do. So thank you so much. Our next meeting, we're going to have to adjourn now. Our next meeting is Tuesday, March 9th at 10:30. Thank you, Representative Long, for your bill. And with that, we are adjourned.